Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who are you? That's kind of catchy. That might work if it were the 60s. This is Wretched Radio, and maybe better than the interrogative who. What are you? What makes you different than the plants, the birds, the bees, the trees? Friel, trees are plants. The point is, you and I, as image bearers of God, are downright different. But the question is, what differentiates us from every other created thing? And perhaps the follow-up question, what difference does it make? Oh, the difference makes a lot of difference because we're different. Yes. Yes, I wrote this monologue. Why? Because the image bearer that you and I alone possess, that imprint of God, it's getting blurred. It's being erased. It started with people like Charles Darwin, who decided we need to descend man, we need to elevate animals and basically make us the same. Lo and behold, that's what is taught to kids in schools. You're just primordial ooze. You crawled out of a swamp. You're no different than a bonobo monkey. You are not distinct. You're certainly not better. You're not the cream of God's creative crop. Furthermore, we see the image of man being blurred, wiped out, really, just like white out. Okay, that's a reference most people probably don't get these days. Did you have to use white out, Jimmy?
Absolutely.
Yes, yes, the good old days when things were harder and we learned more character because we had white out and we couldn't just hit the little button, erase everything. The life issue. We see the erasing of Imago Dei when it comes to the beginning of life, the end of life, and which, by the way, Mrs. Friel informed me just this morning. I think she said it was in Denmark that it's no longer considered assisted suicide when a doctor helps you to die, facilitating your death, expediting your last breath. It's no longer called assisted suicide. It's assisted dying. See, we changed the word. We erase the word that has any sort of negative implications so that we don't feel so bad about the disgusting deed that we're participating in and endorsing. Image bearer is at the core, at the very source of the debate about beginning and end of life issues, gender issues, sexuality issues. Imago Dei, it makes a difference, and it makes a big difference these days, courtesy of artificial intelligence. You say, wait, what? What does artificial intelligence have to do with who and what I am as an image bearer of God? Well, this is going to hurt. I'm going to say it, though. It's going to hurt. I'm just telling you up front. It's courtesy of Christianity today. Christianity Today dedicated an issue. I don't know who sends this to me. And I don't know how often it comes out. Maybe quarterly? Yeah, it's volume LXIX, number 4, whatever that means. I don't know the regularity of Christianity Today, but somebody keeps sending it to me and I keep diving into it to discover vestiges of Christianity today, but not explicitly, overtly, boldly, conservatively Christian. It's Christianity Today, and they've dedicated an issue mostly, not exclusively, but mostly to the issue of artificial intelligence. And I hate to say it, but it was kind of helpful because they zero in on defining what makes us different. And the reason that that is so crucial is because we are now calling things robots that we're making that have artificial intelligence humanoids. Wow, they're humanoids. So they're like human. Furthermore, when you use the word intelligence, that typically, okay, some dogs are kind of smart. Those border collies from Australia, those are smart dogs right there. Okay, Winnie can spell dinner, D-I-N-N-E-R, and her tail goes a wagon. But that is an intelligence that is human. And it is certainly not intelligence that is human when it is being produced by electronics. And yet, artificial intelligence, a word I think for the most part should be reserved for human beings, is blurring that line. And it might actually cause you to reconsider your humanness, because those things are intelligent. And what happens if these machines that we're busy creating, that nobody has any control over, what if they start to seemingly act more human? It's imperative that we understand what makes human beings. Otherwise, we're going to be competing and we're going to have to answer some very bizarre questions. So without any further ado, from Christianity Today, please note, the whole thing wasn't good, believe me, but there was indeed some helpful information inside of Christianity Today. Jimmy, if you record that and send that out into the world as some sort of a soundbite, it's all over. We're done here. Don't worry. There's still plenty of dreck inside of Christianity Today.
I'll use one of those beeps.
There you go. Like Eastern University is being advertised. Shaping lives of impact. And then here's the slogan. Faith, reason, justice. Y'all, do us a favor and take the cross out of your logo. You just, if you're into faith, reason, and justice. Oh, what was the, Baylor University just received over $600,000 from some liberal organization to help them study how institutions make LGBTQ people feel bad. Baylor University, they used to be Christian too. I think they're about 180 years old. They've been around for a long time. And yet barely Christian. I think I read it in the Christian Post. Some pastor said, it's better to send your kid to a secular school because at least you know that they're wolves, as opposed to some of these institutions where they pretend that they're being shepherds, but inwardly they're devouring your kids. Let's focus, however, not on all of the bad, at least not yet, of Christianity Today, and focus on what I think was actually helpful. We are seeing the debate about AI now. It's heating up, and rightly so. And CT, let's just call it CT, so I don't feel so bad about having to say the name every time. It identifies there's some good stuff that's happening. It can be curing diseases. It can be helping us live longer as human beings. Those aren't terrible things, are they? They help us perhaps find information more quickly. Well, here's the list of the good stuff. To diagnose diseases, develop novel medicines, fight human trafficking, find missing children, make crops more productive and businesses more efficient, improve education, explore the cosmos, and even decipher animal languages? Okay, don't use the word language. They do not use language. It is so crude. Now, does it communicate information? Sure. A wagging tail tells you typically a dog is happy. That is not poetry. That isn't literature. That isn't using symbols and sounds to communicate something specific. It's not, to call it language is once again to elevate animals to the level of human attributes. Big mistake. Now, here's all the bad stuff that is identified as the danger of AI and why it's important that we understand who we are as human beings. Recent decades, AI algorithms have turned social media into massive engines of addiction, polarization, and dysfunction. Yep. It remains to be seen how artificial intelligence will impact labor markets. That's a concern. So we had an issue with our HVAC. Perfect timing. On 4th of July. Doesn't it always happen on a holiday? And we got a hold of an HVAC company and they were great, really. And they were reasonable with what they said it would cost to come and take a look at it and potentially even fix it. Young man shows up, and I applauded him for choosing a career in HVAC. Went to tech school, and now he's making, I'm sure, a good living, helping people live comfortably in the South. And I said, this is great that you've chosen this career because it's safe from AI. And he said, maybe not. He said, I can actually, there are some, now the new units, the HVAC units that are being made, he said, I can diagnose the problem and even fix problems from my cell phone. Oh boy, AI, it's going to impact labor markets. The struggle between democratic and totalitarian regimes, information warfare, kinetic warfare, matters of mental health and family cohesion. Do you know what the number one use of AI is? Asking for advice. What? From a machine? Yep. AI safetyists are not wrong to be concerned that if we fail to align artificial intelligence and human flourishing, we could find human civilization twisted into something far more worse than it is now. And that is why we must define who are you? Hoo-hoo. Hoo-hoo. Next on Wretched Radio.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered book that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free, at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who are you and what is intelligence? This is Wretched Radio. Kind of exciting on the one hand that AI is causing Christians to open up our theological catalogs and categories to start answering questions that have never been asked before, like, what is intelligence? We used to understand that intelligence was more than just an acquiring of facts. And intelligence is something that is uniquely human, but now, courtesy of artificial intelligence, is it really intelligent? Is it? Well, I know we put the moniker, the adjective, artificial intelligence, but is it really intelligent at all? That is the question that is asked and mostly helpfully answered in CT, because it hurts me to say the name, which actually focused on some of the ethical questions about artificial intelligence. And here's why it matters. This is from the magazine. If it's ever proven that humankind has created new intelligent beings, this would indeed open new fields of theological inquiry. Would these new intelligences be like animals that deserve humane treatment, or like human beings who merit protections and rights? So as we advance with AI and these robots, they're not humanoids, they're machines. Well, what if they can really kind of function like a human being? Do they get rights like a human being? Can you throw them away? Can you put them down? I mean, can you help them take control of their own demise and exit the way that they want to with, what are the, not the suicide, the thing that we were just talking about in Denmark.
Assisted suicide.
Assisted dying.
End of life care.
Oxymoron. Would we be misappropriating God's own prerogative to make intelligent beings or expressing our identity as beings made in his image? What if the intelligence we created rebels against us the same way we rebel against our maker? Would man and machine live out their own version of Genesis 1-3? It's coming. We've got to be thinking about this. We got to be leading the way. And I think one of the keys is definitions, just like assisted dying, end of life care. End of life care. Okay, this is like dentistry is tooth care. That I get.
Yeah,
but these are people who just want you to be able to rip out your own teeth for no reason whatsoever and call that dental care. No, that's the opposite. Assisted end of life care. There is no such thing. As these machines advance, it'll be very easy for us to be duped and deceived. So I think it was last night. The kids are over and we were talking about AI, which was interesting because I hadn't read the magazine yet. And I had mentioned the statistic that I had heard that the number one use of AI is for advice. And so my eldest said, well, let's get some advice, shall we? So she fires up the AI and she said, what question? What sort of emotional or relational question should we ask? And I said, ask the AI machine why I don't have any friends. Because I'd kind of like to know, but I digress. Why don't I have any friends? So this woman's voice comes on, and you could tell it's a little electronic, but it's trying really hard to sound human with intonation. They don't have it down fully yet, but it's getting better. Nevertheless, here is the first thing you need to know. What's the first thing you need to know about not having any friends? Now, you could pick a lot of things, but this is what AI chose. It's not your fault. Oh, really? What if it is?
That's what I was going to say.
What if I'm a jerk? Todd, that's not an if question. All right, fine. What if I am the problem? What if I'm a terrible friend, Misa? You need to know you're not the problem. Why? Because AI just supports and affirms you. You're never the problem because it's you. The autonomous self, and AI feeds right into that. We've heard that over and over again, and I heard it with my own ears at dinner as we're eating chicken pockets. That's right, a gourmet meal of chicken pockets. They were delicious. And we have leftovers today, too. They're not as good the second day, I will admit that. Who are we will help us to navigate how we are going to treat what appeared to be sentient beings. But that really is going to be the bottom line. They're not. Back to the magazine, which answers the question, what is intelligence? Sometimes we use the term to refer to a capacity for certain activities. Human, animal, machine is intelligent if it demonstrates the ability to learn, adapt, and solve problems. But other times, and I think this is crucial, we use the term to refer to a being, a supreme intelligence, extraterrestrial, not that there is such a thing, intelligence, human being intelligence. There's more to intelligence than just being able to acquire data and solve problems. A computer simulation of consciousness does not produce consciousness any more than a computer simulation of a hurricane produces wind. And I thought that was helpful, but I think we could keep going. Because I think it's really kind of this simple. We can be deceived into thinking this is that because it shares something that is sort of similar. All right. That means a car is just like a car is a human. Hey. Humans walk. We move from point A to point B. That's what cars do. Wah and la, cars are human beings. And you intuitively conclude, no, that's nonsense. Just because it's sort of similar doesn't mean it is. Bingo when it comes to artificial intelligence. It sort of is, but it's not. Furthermore, people keep overlooking this. I didn't read this in the CT articles that I went through. That all of the intelligence, presumably, that these artificial machines possess. Where did it come from? Human beings. All it is a sorting, gleaning, and collection, a sifting of human intelligence. Otherwise, a machine doesn't just grow intelligence. It doesn't learn. It has to be taught. A computer simulation of consciousness does not produce consciousness any more than a computer simulation of a hurricane produces wind. Now, are we going to get to the point where they start to look and act more and more human? We'll see. People are a bit skeptical about that because there is still something different between us and machinery. From the article, Christians have particular reason to be skeptical that machine algorithms will ever approximate or compete with human personhood. Don't panic. You're not going to be kicked off of the top of God's creative crop. You're an image bearer. While animals are conscious and possess varying amounts of intelligence, they're not persons. Not in a biblical sense. To be human is to be a God-breathed union of body and spirit. AI doesn't have a spirit. It doesn't have a soul. God's breath of life is nothing to do with machinery. It requires electricity. That's what it needs. To be human is to be a God-breathed union of body and spirit, indissolubly connected. It is to be irreducibly rational, made for fellowship with God and one another. Now, a computer can pretend that it loves God. It can say all of the things that humans have said about loving God, but it doesn't love God, which is another distinction. Intelligence is more than just facts, ma'am. Intelligence involves emotions, wisdom, experience, memories. Those are distinctly human attributes. And a machine is it can replicate it to a degree, but that doesn't make it human. It's a machine. Now, I get it. There's already people talking about that they can conform. They're going to happily, people in Silicon Valley would say, we're happy to submit to an intelligent being, which is kind of funny. They'll be happy to submit to artificial intelligence to get the information that it already affirms and approves of. But in the first second that AI starts saying, no, that's wrong. You can't do that. They're just going to ditch the deity of AI. It can become something huge and strong and powerful, but it can never become human, and it certainly is not going to become divine. We're capable not only of intelligence, but also of love and loneliness, grief and doubt, anxiety, joy. We're meant to be caught up in families, communities, covenantal relationships. We're made to be stewards over the works of our hands, not subject to them. It is an impoverished view to believe that intelligence is reducible to behavior. Kind of a gruesome illustration, but nevertheless, a corpse can be manipulated to embrace a person, but that doesn't mean the corpse loves the person. Photographs of a child can be thrown into a box and shaken up, but it's never going to produce a child. Let's not anthropomorphize or idolize artificial intelligence, and let us not be worried that it is going to supplant human beings, and it is certainly not going to be a successful Tower of Babel effort to kick God off of his throne. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortas News Break, a production of Fortas Institute. Well, the numbers don't lie. President Trump's border policies are delivering some pretty historic results that make the previous administration's open border disaster look even worse by comparison. Homeland Security announced that June saw the lowest number of border encounters in U.S. history at 25,243. That is 89% lower than the monthly average during the Biden years. Meanwhile, speaking of President Trump, he's taking his America First approach global with a dozen take-it-or-leave-it trade deal ultimatums heading to various countries this week. After growing tired of lengthy negotiations that are going nowhere, Trump signed letters outlining specific tariff levels, some potentially reaching 70%, that trade partners can either accept or face the consequences. And speaking of President Trump, CNN's Dana Bash demonstrated exactly why trust in the mainstream media continues to plummet. During coverage of the tragic Texas flooding that killed at least 69 people, Bash managed to blame both climate change and the Trump administration for the disaster. She suggested that Trump's government buyouts left National Weather Service offices understaffed, somehow preventing proper flood warnings. It's almost impressive how the liberal media can turn natural disasters into political attacks. Apparently, when it rains in Texas, it's Trump's fault. But when the border becomes secure, well, that's just coincidence. Okay, speaking of cultural decline, Chuck E. Cheese has decided to chase the kidult market that's been such a disaster for Disney. Their new Chuck's Arcade will offer adults-only gaming with alcohol because nothing says emotional maturity like getting drunk playing arcade games meant for children. Way to teach adults to leave the childish games behind. And the workplace challenges facing Gen Z reveal how pandemic isolation damaged basic social skills. Companies are now hiring etiquette coaches at $2,500 per 90-minute session to teach new hires revolutionary concepts like making eye contact, basic hygiene, and not leaving food wrappers scattered around common areas. And it's so sad and tragic to watch. The political landscape shifted dramatically as Elon Musk has now officially launched his America Party following his public feud with President Trump over spending. Finally, some encouraging news to wrap up on. Stanford Medicine announced it's halting gender transition surgeries for patients under 19 following similar moves by Children's Hospital Los Angeles. The decision comes after the executive order by the president cutting federal support for these procedures. And that wraps up today's Fortas News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortas Plus or sign up to become a Fortas Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortasInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortas News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1870. Pope Pius IX proclaims a doctrine of papal infallibility. Though the authority of the Pope had been established for centuries, the teaching that the Pope's teaching is divinely inspired and infallible is a very recent invention. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And all of God's people said, "Woo, that was close." This is Wretched Radio, Christianity Today's most recent edition, magazine. It actually has some good articles. And I want to say that because, well, it's Christianity Today and it's so often just loaded with glop. And believe me, this current edition is not exempt from that, but it actually has some helpful insights, and I figured out why. It's because they're mostly not theological. So Christianity Today can crank out some good articles as long as they stay away from, you know, the Bible. And for the most part, the majority of the articles did. Yeah, there were some allusions here and there. But overall, they weren't packed with Bible. So there was some gleaning that could be done regarding artificial intelligence, how we are going to act as human beings as these machines become more and more sophisticated and they change the workplace. Oof, is it going to have an impact? And I don't know how it's going to sort. Any time that there's an advancement in society, there's going to be a shifting of the workforce. It has to be. The Industrial Revolution most certainly did that. But when we started entering into the technological revolution and we started to buy more and more stuff through our phones, what happened to brick and mortar? Not as you'd, Amazon doesn't need brick and mortar except for the big warehouses where they store all of this stuff. Now that changed the workforce. Construction workers, HVAC, plumbing, sign-making people, the fixture people, they just went away. But it got replaced. Now, it took some shifting and some people were hurt by it. We cannot miss that. And that should always be considered as we ponder a new advancement. But those jobs were replaced. I am staggered at the complexity and the diversity necessary to run an internet store. We have a store here. Not for long, though. No more store. Very soon. Hey, just to give you a heads up, we are going to be closing the store and then everything is going to be free. Just to let you know, we are going to be having a sale in August. Basically, these are the last hard copies we've got. And they're going to be dirt cheap. Why? Because we just want to give more and more of our stuff away. But through the years, I've observed the necessity of different skill sets to simply make a store, to simply make a website. Oh, man, Scylla, you need so much. Marketing these days is so, I don't want to say fractured, like it's a bad thing, but it's definitely precise in its skill set demands. You've got people who know they can make, for instance, a graphic for a video looks great, but that very same person can't make an ad. And the person who can make an electronic ad can't necessarily make a print. It's just very demanding as far as particular skill sets. And what has that done? It's replaced some of those jobs that were lost when brick and mortar became less popular than it once was. And you could cite 100 examples like that. What about AI? What is that going to do? Remember, people that used to do, I guess you could use the word repetitive, mundane tasks when it came to mass production. When the assembly line, the mechanical assembly line was put in place, those people lost jobs. But there were new jobs because those machines had to operate. Those machines had to run. And they could produce more stuff. It demanded more shipping. So we needed more drivers. What will AI do to us? What will it do when you can have your teeth cleaned by a robot? The dental hygiene. And how are they going to be replaced? Is it just going to be more tech? Are we just going to, we all have technology jobs so that robots can serve us? The answer is, I don't know, but it is something to consider. We are entering into, and people are talking about it, like, get ready, because you have no idea what this is going to do. Okay. How's about that? I'm just saying, there's going to be a robot that can write a sermon better than a lot of pastors. And then those robots can deliver those sermons better than a lot of pastors. Are we no longer going to have men in the pulpit? Are we no longer going to have human beings? Do we need deacons when we have robots? These are open-ended questions, and we would do well to answer them. And CT, I have to confess, it wasn't thorough, but they did a pretty decent job And one of the articles actually that tried to be a little bit more theological, I thought, is something you might want to ponder. The title of the article in CT was The Gospel of Inefficiency. The subtitle was Technology Pulls Us Toward Optimization. God's work in our lives often takes a slower route. Now, that's true, but it's also true of us. How do you grow in wisdom? How do you grow in stature? How do you grow in being an individual who is relied upon? Well, the reality is that takes time. That's a process. You don't become a concert pianist overnight. You practice and you practice and you practice. And this article, it kind of caught my attention because we consume the air that encircles us. We are surrounded with the air of optimization, productivity, efficiency. Gotta get stuff done and lots of it all the time. Busy, doing stuff, working, creating. We've got to be efficient human beings, which means the acceleration of our lives has absolutely changed. Now, I get it. There's positives. Most of us aren't having to carry buckets of water from a well to take care of today's water necessities. I get it. But there's downsides too. We're moving. We're just humming at an amazing clip. I was reminded of this when I was in Fort Worth, Texas a couple of weeks ago. Did I mention I had food poisoning? Yeah. So we're in Fort Worth, Texas, and the pace was so different. Now, I suspect if you live in Fort Worth, you could argue that pace is too much. We're not, you know, walking around, clomping around on horses anymore. And so the pace, you know, we transportation, communication, all of it just fat, boom, 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 boom. I'm not sure we're made to live that way. I'm not sure there's much we can do about it. But maybe, just maybe, as I think we would all agree, social media and the internet isn't making us smarter. It's rewiring our brains so we can barely concentrate. Zip, 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 swipe, swipe, swipe. Away you go. Got to get fast, fast, fast. And you can't have a moment to yourself to think. And maybe that's something we need to be, sorry for this word, mindful of, because that's just not the way that we were made to be. And I couldn't help but think technology pulls us toward optimization, but make God's work, He's patient with us. And I'm not saying that we should become lazy human beings, but I am saying maybe, just maybe, we would do well to consider, how are we living? And again, I don't know the alternative. I don't know how we can slow down at this point. And I remember years and years ago, it struck my ear when I heard my buddy David Wheaton, who's a great talk show host. If you don't listen to Christian Worldview, it's a great program. It typically airs around the nation on Saturday mornings for an hour. Super thoughtful. I believe he's going to have Dr. John Kratz on soon to talk about the integration of faith and life. And David, years ago on his radio program, when we used to work together in the cinder block bunker in the middle of a field known as KKMS in the Twin Cities, he said that urban dwelling is not ideal. And I think he maybe even went as far to say that's just not God's design for human beings. That we're clustered this tightly. You don't want to be living miles from everybody, but clustered this tightly in a world of anonymity. Isn't that why kids leave the farm and they go to the big city? Because they can go there and live whatever way they want, and they're not going to have somebody from church, the guy who runs the diner, say, "What are you up to, son?" You don't see God much. Now, you see the handiwork of man as you observe skyscrapers, but you don't see trees. The smog keeps you from actually seeing the stars. Urban dwelling is maybe not ideal. Now, what is the correct size dwelling? I don't know. That's not exactly the point. But I wonder if maybe we are more swept up in the rat race than we need to be. Maybe just more. And there are some people, believe me, they'll hear this and they'll go, "Good, I get to be even lazier than I am." No, that's not the way an image bearer operates. But I wonder if maybe just taking a little more time, to smell the flowers. I've got somewhere on my desk here. I got piles and piles of things. There's articles about workaholism. Just work, 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 work. Yet we are supposed to be productive. But we are not artificial intelligence. We're not machines. And if we're not taking the time to ponder and to think and to grow, be convicted, pray, fellowship with one another, do life together, maybe, just maybe, we will not flourish as human beings the way that God intended. Thanks, CP. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young men struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Question, what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered five powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move His truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. That's FortisInstitute.org/lies.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the Mediator. God is holy and cannot have fellowship with sinful men. But Jesus is both righteous man and holy God, and through Him, we have direct access to God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thank you for your concern, but let me assure you, you have nothing to be concerned about except for a talk show host who ends sentences with prepositions. This is Wretched Radio. Yes, yes, I'm on record. I've said it. There were a couple of good articles in Christianity Today. A couple. Nevertheless, like Cyndi Lauper, Christianity Today shows its true colors with articles like this one. It's a testimony. That's what it says in big, bold letters. Testimony. And it happens to be the testimony of Christine Kane, who's extremely popular at conferences. She, I think she's definitely of the NAR bent. She is an individual who preaches to women and men alike. No discrimination. I believe she calls herself Pastor Christine Kane. And Christianity Today asked this pastrix to give her testimony. Question, what is a testimony? What are you testifying about? Historically, in evangelicalism, is a testimony is the articulation of what God has done in the salvation of a sinner. That's a testimony. We are testifying about God's work in our lives. What should a robust testimony include? Well, how's about the character and nature of God, the character and nature of us, what a holy, righteous, just God should do with us? What should he do with us? And what has he done for us to save us from what he should do to us? Sent his son to die for sinners. How should we respond? We're done. It is the kindness of God that should move us to repentance, which was actually a part of the observation of the text from Sunday morning at Alpharetta Bible Church. It was fascinating to me that there was a difference of theological opinion about Jesus calling Judas friend. What was happening there? Jesus is in the garden. The mobs are coming. You can see the lights. It was about 600 people, about 480 Romans, the soldiers that were conspiring with the Jews, or the Jews were conspiring with them. There were the temple guards. There were mobs with clubs and swords. And you could see the light coming. And Jesus, with divine initiative, goes to meet them. They don't have to hunt him down. He goes to meet them. Why? Because this entire passage in Matthew 26, I think it's like 46 to 57. Nah, 47 to 56, that neighborhood. Read the whole book. It's good. It is about Jesus being in control of his own execution. Here comes Judas to betray him with a kiss. Woo, baby, there is nothing more dastardly than what Judas did. Especially in first century Judaism. No, you don't betray somebody with a sign of affection, a sign of respect. That would have been the most diabolical form of treachery committed by Judas. And as he approaches, and Jesus knows what Judas is up to, he says, friend, what was going on there? Now, there are some theologians who would say, because Jesus used a distinct word that he had not used with the disciples heretofore. He had been calling the disciples philios, your friends, philos, you're a philos, warm, affectionate, relational. Those are the disciples. He calls Judas a hetairos, friend, somebody who, yeah, been a companion, but there's no affection in it. And some theologians would say this was nothing more than a rebuke. This was nothing more than a downgrading, friend. Almost could even be sarcastic. But there are other theologians, including A.W. Pink, Leon Morris, Matthew Henry, Charles Spurgeon, who said that this was Jesus' last-ditch effort to bring Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, with a kiss to his senses. Yeah, it was a rebuke. So it was that, but it was also an act of kindness to call Judas Iscariot to repentance one last time. Hey, we've got shared experiences. We've done ministry together. We've broken bread together. I've washed your feet. Friend, what are you doing? What are you doing? By the way, there's also a debate. Was that a statement or a question? Do what you came to do, or what did you come to do? If it's the latter, could it have been that Jesus was again calling Judas Iscariot to repentance, that he was calling him to come to his senses? And okay, he's still going to be taken by the horde, but Judas, you, what are you doing? It was a question to elicit some thoughtfulness. Because what would have happened if Judas had said, oh, well, I'm here to betray you. The sign is, I'm going to give you a kiss. And by the way, the Greek says multiple kisses. It was more than one kiss. I'm going to do that so that you can be arrested and they can do whatever they want to do with you with their clubs and their swords. Maybe it would have startled him and brought him to repentance, which via application is something that we should remember. When you're tempted to sin, ask yourself the question, what are you doing? And the answer is you're betraying your Savior for 30 pieces of silver. You're choosing the lesser instead of the greater. You're choosing the depraved instead of the divine. You're worshiping filth and you're not worshiping the Father. That's what you're doing. What are you doing? And we do well to see the face of Jesus, not calling us hetairos, but philos, friend. What are you doing? Now, if those commentators like Spurgeon and Morris, et cetera, are correct, that is another demonstration of the love of God. That should be at the core of a testimony, shouldn't it? Isn't that what the Christian faith is about? That it is a testimony of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So I'm reading this testimony in Christianity Today. I will share with you, now I've edited just a little bit of this, but I'm just going to share with you this testimony. Ask yourself a question. It's a testimony because it says so right there on the front page. It's a testimony. What grade would you give this testimony? Quote, a friend invited me to join her for Sunday service. It was the first time I stepped inside a Pentecostal church, and at first glance, I almost mistook it for a disco. Because that's easy to do. As strange and unfamiliar as it was, once the service started, I was deeply impacted by the worship. The words were personal and intimate, inviting me to love God with all of my heart, soul, body, and strength. That's not a great invitation. That's a command. Love God with the totality of your being, every fiber in you. Love him. That's a command. That's not gospel. That's law. When the youth pastor, a woman, she writes, delivered the message, I was captivated. The presence of God was thick in the air. Huh. I wonder, do they pass out like wet wipes because of that thickness of the presence of God in the air? It's imagination, or it could be even your brain thinking about God. That's legit, but the air doesn't become thick with God. What verse is that? All I could do was keep going back. And she started to read the Bible for herself. Its beauty and truth gripped my heart. One day, I realized the girl, damaged by explosive secrets, because she shares earlier of the terrible abuse that she received as a child, which was wicked. I was the damaged girl by explosive secrets. I found a safe home in God's love. Where there was once distrust, there was now faith in the one who works all things for our good. I realized I was finally learning to walk freely by the Spirit in grace and truth. And I long to help others do the same. So now she's a pastor preaching to mixed audiences. What grade would you give that testimony? Jimmy, what grade? I pretty much shared with you the testimony of Christine Kane.
Mm-hmm.
You're the teacher. What mark would you give it?
I don't...
Take your time.
Yeah,
F minus.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to be
super... I'm sorry. No, this is not a testimony. So either Christianity Today should have said, here's some nice thoughts from Christine Kane, or they shouldn't have called it testimony. And if she knew that she was being asked to write a testimony, then she should have, you know, written a testimony. And this is one of the trends that I see in evangelicalism these days, and it's been going on for a bit. We think that somebody's talking about the gospel because they're talking about gospel-y things or Bible things, but that doesn't make it a testimony. A testimony must have who, what. Who is God? Who am I? What should he do with me? What has he done for me? What should I do in response? And if it doesn't contain those elements, it's not a testimony. Furthermore, if you're reading this stuff, I mean, what does this even mean? Where there was once distrust, there was now faith. I realized I was finally learning to walk freely by the Spirit in grace and truth. What does that even mean? It's not explained. We just assume people get our lingo, and the reality is they don't. And we need to do better than Christianity Today and Christine Kane. Let's make sure that our testimonies thoroughly, clearly, testify about what? The love of God in Christ Jesus. That's a testimony. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.